as an assurance that we're in your family, because you ask us, tell us to say, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then, Jesus, once we've asked you to forgive us and come into our hearts and be our Savior, you tell us these verses. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. So, Jesus, we can have that blessed assurance. Not think so, not maybe so. We can know so. We can know so that we are yours. And Jesus, then you tell us to come boldly to the throne and ask you to bring our requests and petitions to you. So, Jesus, we ask for that. We pray for Melvin and her family and her sons. And Jesus, we pray for the ones that Becky mentioned that just need dying grace before they come meet you. And Jesus, we pray for those that are here today with a heavy heart of something that only you know. But Jesus, I'm glad that you're close to the brokenhearted. You're close to those who are crushed in spirit. So Jesus, says again, a promise from your word that nothing catches you by surprise. God cannot be caught off guard. So Jesus, today we bring these requests to you. And so, Lord, whether it's a co-worker, whether it's a family member, or Jesus helping us just to have more boldness, every day in our life to live for you, we ask these things. So now bless our time together as we study, as you change your hearts, and as you draw us closer to you, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for the prayer time. How many people believe in prayer? Is that, yeah. See, that's such a weapon that we have, and we just take it for granted that, oh, God, you know what I need, why I ask. Well, Father loves to have you ask. Now, if you need a Bible, Joe's going to give him a Bible, please, sir. If you need a Bible, would you raise your hand, and Joe's going to put one in your hand, and those are what I would call pew Bibles. We don't have pews, we have chairs, but those are pew Bibles, and you can... turn, if you would, to what we have for you today. I'm going to try to make a simple message, just get right to the point, and I'll introduce it as Joe's coming around with the Bibles. Imagine one day you find this. It's a leather pouch. And I mentioned a couple things last week about this. You're cleaning out an attic, and you find this, and it looks like a wallet. And then on closer notice, it looks almost like a checkbook, and you open that checkbook, and that checkbook reveals some things that... it contains 21 checks, and of those 21 checks, they're made out, already made out, paid to the order of, and you're astonished. First of all, you blew the dust off, and you look down at the checkbook, and then it's made out, those checks are made out to you. Say, but they have odd things written on them. They're not an amount of money, not $1,000 or $400. They're made out for supernatural grace. You know, you say, I don't know how I acted that way. God must have just gave me grace. You get surprised by that grace thing sometimes. When I was at Roanoke Valley Christian Schools, I was a baseball coach, and I had a player by the name of Kevin Camper. And Kevin had his own bat. It was called the Black Magic. I don't know if you remember. It was a black bat, had in gold print, Black Magic bat. And Kevin used that, and matter of fact, he just said everybody. And so when we'd go, people would pull bats out of the bag. We had an army duffel bag carrying the bats. Kevin just brought that pretty soon. Everybody wanted to use it. But anyway, at the same time, there was a elementary PE teacher. And it's not that we didn't get along. Y'all never had anybody to get along with. So, I mean, just bear with me. I'm just trying. You know, people are sort of snarky to you. You know. And that young woman, whose name is Debbie Selvin, whose name I forget years ago, but anyway, she would sometimes grab it up, just everything. It's like, I just try to stay calm. Well, one day we came in, and from softball, sweaty, and Debbie Selvin come up to me, and Rex, she sort of gets in your face and says, I don't appreciate you using the girl's bat, because that's Black Magic bat. I don't appreciate you using that out there in your PE class. So I need some supernatural grace right here, don't I? Because I could have said, face. About ripped mine off, but I said, well, we didn't use your bat. Well, that's right there. I know that's it. And I said, no, that happens to be one of my players. That's his bat. That's Kevin's own bat. If you're going there and look in the locker room or look in the storage room, you'll find your bat is still there. Oh, well, I just You want to go ahead and fish that other foot, or was the one in your mouth enough? You know, that's what I felt like saying, but I didn't. I said, well, I'm sorry. It's okay. You ever need a supernatural grace like that sometimes? That you could be snarky right back and you don't? How about this? You ever need victory over fear? Oh, I'm just so afraid. I can't knock on doors like Virginia. I can't knock on doors like Suzanne. I can't do it. Yeah, you can. God will give you victory. Oh, everything's just seeming so bad. God, can you change it? God, I don't feel forgiven. I'm going to give you full forgiveness. I'm going to give you divine direction. So you look down and think, who can give me these great things? Well, you'll find that God can give you those things. He signed the checks to that checkbook. And so you just got to trust Him, and you just got to say, God, I don't understand every little thing. I went up to Blacksburg the other day and went to the dermatologist, and the guy sat down and he said, yeah, that spot, all those probably need to come off. Let me just freeze them off. I don't know why they say freeze, and then it feels like a match to your head. But anyway, he burned off about four or five of those, and right through there. I got summer school starting tomorrow. So I'll show up at my class and I'll go, God, what happened to your face? You know, it's like, and I'll look back at that team and go, what happened to your face? No, I will not do that. But that sort of burns. But yet, I got to trust God to say, God knows what He's doing. As a matter of fact, what's the alternative? To ignore it and maybe get skin cancer. So I'll choose this. Well, sometimes God will say, I've got to do this, but I don't understand it. I've got to go through a little bit of pain to figure out, God, what you're doing in my life. God says, trust me. Cash in on the checks. Come to me today in prayer and say, God, I need that supernatural grace. I need that forgiveness. I need some things that I'm not sure what's going on in my life, but I know. So these are promises to live by. And we have some promises. Consider these questions. When I have questions, I got to take them to God. But you might ask yourself a question like this. You sometimes lack confidence, or let me ask you, and you say, well, I do. I lack confidence. Or maybe, what do you do when your faith is wavering? Oh, this is tough. I don't know if I can get through this. Do you ever feel like your faith is too small to accomplish anything? Anybody ever do that? Oh, I can't pray through this. Jesus said if your faith is the size of a what? Mustard seed, you can move a mountain. I haven't moved any mountains lately. So that means the faith I have is even smaller than that, but it's enough faith to make me a Christian. Because Jesus says, come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. How do you deal with those times when you want, am I doing anything right? I don't know about you, but yeah, sometimes. Or some of you just were in a stale area. What do you do when doubts seem to be all around you and you just feel sort of defeated? Well, I got good news for you today. We've got a checkbook and we've got it signed by God, and God's going to give you a promise today that you say, I'm going to cash in on that one. But this is what we feel like at times. You ever feel like you're stuck in your faith, like you're not going anywhere? Maybe you need a lift and God needs to come in and pull you out of that flooded area. And you say, oh God, I need you to lift me out of that mess right now. Well, sometimes He'll choose to lift you out of the mess. And sometimes He'll leave you in the storm to say, I'm going to leave you there and tell you what. Learn from this. I used to run my team a lot. And my players would say, is this a baseball team or a track team? I'd say, excuse me? No, I didn't say that. Okay. But then we'd get in the game and we weren't outrun by people. And they'd say, now it makes sense why you pushed us so hard. Okay. God's going to make sense out of what you're doing right now. I don't have any idea what you're doing, but God's going to say, trust me. Because God's promise of completion is this. It's a good promise you can bank on today. Matter of fact, I can add something to that. Since I know He'll complete what He started, that'll give me confidence. Again, I walked into a locker room at halftime and I said, guys, you're playing not to win. Or you're playing not to lose instead of playing to win. Why? Because I'm cautious and I'm afraid. Sometimes you just got to throw caution to the wind and do this. And I asked my players this question. I said, how would you feel if you knew you were going to win a game? And they said, well, we'd play more confident. We'd quit being anxious. We'd quit being nervous. How would you live today if I told you God's going to take us to heaven one day? Wouldn't that say, you know what, I'd feel better. Well, I've read the book, We Win. The devil might be a skirmish every once in a while, but the devil cannot ever win the war. We are already victors of the war. Who won the war for us? Jesus, when He said it is finished, He can no longer thwart the plan of salvation. But who's our worst enemy? What's Jesus' biggest weakness? It's us. Jesus says, I wrote you a book of promises and y'all just won't cash in on them. Here's a promise for you. I will never leave you. Finish that for me. Or what? And so when you're sitting there saying, God, where are you? I'm right here. People said when 9/11 happened, they asked, where is God? Well, God was probably in those firemen that were racing up and down steps pulling people out. God was probably with a Todd Beamer that said, remember Brady's two words on that plane? Let's roll. That's where God is. Todd Beamer, you and some guys need to get together. You're going to charge that cockpit and save this plane so it won't crash into the Capitol. Instead, it'll empty into a field in Pennsylvania. That's where God is. Now, see, what you're trying to say is, how come he doesn't do that always? So what? Let me get this right. All you have to do is just, God, you just need to be perfect and meet every need according to what I think, and I'll be happy. I got news for you. Ask Trish, you know, running along with John Silver's, and the person comes in, now here are my hours, and you can get along with me, and if I don't show up, you can work in my place, and give me $10 an hour, and as long as everything's perfect. Rich, you have any problems at selling these occasions? So all we need to do is have a job that's perfect and free. But it doesn't work. Ask me if Daniel was free of misery. No, he was tossed in the lion's den. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery? But notice when they looked in the fiery furnace, it wasn't just Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king looked and he said, there's a fourth in there. Who's that fourth one? That was the Son of God. And Jesus says, yeah, we're in the fire. Can you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego looking? Hey, Jesus, they didn't really know it was the Son of God then because Jesus had not came into Bethlehem baby style yet. Can you imagine them looking and going, Jesus, sure is hot in here. Sure is, isn't it? Yeah, it's hot, but I give you what, guys. Do you trust me? Okay, I'm going to show them up right here. You hang on. Waiting in the fire. And the king comes by and lets them out, and they said they never were hurt, they never were burned, they never were singed. They didn't even smell like what? No sin of smoke. Those guys come out. Can you imagine Chadrach looking up? It's scary in there. It's a good thing Jesus is with us. Jesus is with you today. Really? Absolutely. He's promised I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm in the floodwaters. So being confident of this very fact, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Here's my promise to you from God today, and I'll give you some verses we'll look at. If you know Jesus as Savior, he has begun a good work in you. And Jesus will not do this right here. He will not leave you half done. Now, I've worked with Joe so much, I'm sick of working with him. I ain't got no idea. Jesus won't leave the job half done. If he began a good work in you, used to be that song, he who began a good work in you, he's able to bring it to what? Completion. Well, I don't feel like he's working. That's just because you don't see how God works. God will not leave this. God, where am I? You know, God says, I'm right here. Just hang on. I'm not going to leave you. It's a little kid's song that went like this that we could do well to think of these words. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still what? Working on me. God's at work in me right now. And if you know God as your Savior, he's still working on you. And here's what he says. And I could just do it. I could do it to anybody. But he says, I'll just be Jesus here for a second, Emily. Emily, I'm working in you. Well, I needed that because I feel defeated sometimes. No, I'm working in you. Joe, I have not forgotten you. Well, I'd like to know. I haven't forgotten. Okay. See, if God says, he's driving a school bus, I'll pick you up tomorrow. You're waiting out there, wait. He says, I got you. See, we treat Jesus like we do sometimes with each other because we have people let us down, so we automatically think Jesus is going to do what? Let us down. Wouldn't it be cool if you're just sitting there waiting at the bus? Oh, and yet somebody's inside. What are you anxious for? Jesus said he's going to pick me up, and I haven't seen him. He said he'd be here, what?
He'll be here.
How can you be so confident? Because I've waited at the bus stop before. Oh, well, this is my first time at the bus stop. Now I can see why you're nervous. But, oh, look, there's Jesus. You go first. Jesus, I didn't know you were going to show up.
I wouldn't do that, though.
Jesus, I was worried. What time did Ted pick you up? 12 noon.
11:59.
I'm a minute early.
Oh. God said, I will begin a good work in you.
And God promises. Boy Scouts used to do this, you know. I pledge to do my honor to God and my country. Probably can't even say that today. That's a pledge. But if someone says, I will do this. See, again, we're used to today's crowd that says, I promise. Anybody ever said, I promise to you? I'll let you down? Yeah. I promise I'll be there. I haven't seen you for 3 months. I promise I'll be at work in the morning. Jerry said people don't show up all week. But see, then Jesus says, Virginia, I promise I will go with you when you knock on the door. You plant, you plow, I'll do the harvest. Okay. And it's, anybody remember, my son Andy would love this if I said he was a Jimmy Stewart fan. Anybody remember a movie that Jimmy Stewart had that was called Harvey? And Harvey was an imaginary rabbit. You know, and in that movie, it's like, have you met my friend? You know, and everybody thought, well, I sort of feel the same way. Have you met my friend? It's Jesus. Jesus says, I'll forgive you. Oh, he can't forgive me. Now remember, he's promised he will. He's not with me. Come on now. Being confident, that'll give you confidence for tomorrow. Being confident of this very fact that he who began a good work in me will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's promised me that he will complete the work. All right, Chris, I'm going to go back up to there. I got you. Okay. There it is. Being confident. I like that. I need some confidence. God will complete the work. I've got a few verses for you. God's promises to do it. Here's what the first thing. Would you turn to Acts chapter 9? Acts chapter 9. There's a man in the Bible who was ruthless. He was mean. He was ugly. He was... Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. This man was then known as Saul. Would you look at Acts chapter 9? Just give you a few verses right through here. Saul was, well, you can read verse 1 of Acts chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest. Notice he's going to the high priest. He's going to someone who's in a church, basically, and saying, can I have permission? What do you want? Well, he asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way. What's Jesus say is in John 14:6? I am the way. So this is the way. It's the same thing. Let's see what he could really say, belonging to the way or to belonging to Jesus. Whether men or women. He wasn't prejudiced. He'd arrest everybody. He might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So Paul is bent on going and getting people and locking them up. And as he neared Damascus, you know, this story, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground, heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Because when you pick on the church, you pick on Jesus. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city and you'll be told what you must do. Well, you know this story that Saul was blind for 3 days. He could not see. I think God closed his sight to get his attention. And as he closes his eyes, God starts working on his heart. Some people miss heaven by 18 inches. That's the difference between your brain and your heart. They know who God is. They know who Jesus is. But they don't know him as their Savior. I know him intellectually, but I don't know him spiritually. And finally, we say, God, I know that you are the one who created this world. I know you sent your son Jesus. I know Jesus, you died on the cross to pay for my sins, was buried, rose again the third day. I know because you're a risen Savior that I can now trust you. And now I invite you into my heart. Now, made the connection. Paul was pretty smart. He just didn't know Jesus here. And while he's got his eyes closed, I think he does some soul searching. And he finally comes to the realization that Jesus wants to save him. And I believe somewhere along there, he asked Jesus, would you forgive me? I've been a murderer. I've been holding a coat to the people while he stoned Stephen to death. I've been arresting women and children. I'm awful. I'm rotten. And there's going to be a great promise. I think Paul gets saved. Now skip down to verses 15 and 16 and watch this. Saul gets to know a few people. They still don't trust him. See, they're human. We're afraid this guy might kill us. Ananias, for example, Paul had to go meet him. And the Lord said to Ananias, you know, I want you to go meet someone. It sort of went like this. I can imagine the conversation. God says, Ananias, yes, sir. I need you to go visit someone. Yes, sir. I need you to go pray with them. Yes, sir. I need you to make sure that they know me as Savior. Yes, sir. His name's Saul. No, sir. Because it was screech the bus to a halt. Saul killed me. He was beating people to death last week and stoning them to death. I don't want anything to do with this man. And you know what he said? You need to go. Look at verse 13. Lord Ananias said, I've heard many reports about this man, all the harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. He's come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. The Lord says, well, then if you feel that way, maybe you don't have to go. Maybe you can pick another day to knock on the door. No, he didn't. Look at the next thing. Verse 15, Lord said to Ananias, what?
Go.
I'm tired of your excuses. Well, Lord, you don't understand. That's always good to tell God that he doesn't know what he's talking about. God, I know you created the world. You spoke life into Adam, pile of dust. But you don't know this. I want you to read this very carefully. The Lord said to Ananias, verse 15 right here, this man is my what? Chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. You say, well, why did you read that verse for us? This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. If you want to put the Romans into the Greek kind of thing, that would be the Gentiles. God just now made Paul a promise. What did he promise him? He told Ananias, go see Paul because I'm going to promise to Paul, you will carry my name all the way to the top. All the way to the top. What's all the way to the top? Let's go to Rome and let's find this guy named Caesar. And that's where Paul's life would end. You say, what difference does that make? He who began a good work in me will what? Bring it to completion. God promised Paul, I'm going to have you go all the way to the top. You'll just hang on. Okay. Now over in about Acts 16 when he had a big shipwreck and Paul could have drowned. Well, he told me he's going to let me go all the way to the top. What kind of confidence does that give Paul? I'm not dying. All the people were scared to death. They say there's 276 people on board that ship. They crashed. They were hanging on the boards. And some people said, I'm going to jump off. Paul said, wait. We all got to stay together. Somebody might be lost. If you stay together, we're okay. The prisoner's giving the orders. Hang on, we're good. Why? Because God promised me I won't die until I get to Rome. How do you think Paul could live with that? With confidence. Everybody get on the boat. He's good. And then he gets on board, and y'all remember this? He's picking up firewood to warm everybody up. He reached down into firewood. The snake bites him. Hangs on his hand. Paul's like, people. And the snake. Paul, oh, it's all right. Going in the fire. Don't keep getting wood. Why? Because Paul says, I'm not in what? I'm not in Rome. God promised me I get to go to Rome. Wow. Shakes off snake. People. Wow. Paul's got to go all the way to Rome. But now, look in 1 Thessalonians. If you don't want to flip all the way over there, I'm going to give you a verse or two right here. Was Paul always strong and stout and everything? Well, he tries to be strong in his faith. Is he human? Let me give you this verse in 1 Thessalonians chapter 24. He's human. I'll read verse 23, chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. May God himself, the God of peace, he's writing to the Thessalonians. They're in Thessalonica. And he says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Now, what would you do differently if you knew for sure that Jesus was coming back today? And you say, well, I would change. I bet you'd quit worrying. You'd quit fretting, there'd be no need. Philippians 1:6, we've already covered. And I know that he who began a good work in you is able to bring it to completion. God is able to do it. Psalms 147:5. Again, you don't have to turn to, is God, can he really work that way in my life? Well, if you want to turn to Psalms, and it's 147:5. My son Andy would be picking on me right now. He said, Dad, it's a sword drill. I'm just giving you a few verses. I know I'm flipping you back and forth in the Bible. But I want to, Psalms 147:5 says this. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. So sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God on the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes the grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens when they call. So my God can do anything. Matter of fact, if you'd read those other two verses, Matthew 19:26 and Luke 1:27, it'll remind you this. For man, things are what? Impossible. But with God, what? All things are possible. God says, I'll keep you safe and sound, Edgar, until the day you die. Oh, am I going to get to go to Rome? I don't know where I'll end up. But God says he'll be with me. Is he with me when my mom dies in the hospital? Absolutely. Is he with me when my brother Gene dies in a car wreck? Absolutely. I was a little boy. I was just walking around watching an army funeral. Didn't even realize what was going on. Is he with you when you go through a tough time? Yes. He has not abandoned you. Okay, I'm going to trust God's promise. I'll bring the work to completion that I've started in you. God's able to do it. So the only thing left, I just need to take God at his word. The devil tried this trick on me, and I used to do this. I would mess up. Pretend with me you messed up. Benjamin, you messed up. And the devil heaps guilt on you. The sin, what if you lost it and just said, some people say that's a potty mouth. Let's say you used a couple cuss words. How long did it take you to say those words? 4 seconds. How long does the guilt last? 4 days. The devil's great at that. Oh, Benjamin, you messed up. I'd wonder if I was even saved. Does the devil, come on, just raise your hand. Does the devil ever try to talk you out? Yeah. You might say. Well, the Bible says, I love it when I quote scripture because the devil goes, See, he's tried this, a little progression on me, and I've learned to not let him do that. I mess up. You ever mess up once or twice, and then you say, God, help, I'll never do that again. And the devil goes, if I just give him one more time today, he'll feel like scum. And so when I mess up, I'll say, 1 John 1:9, if we confess, that is to agree with God that it's wrong, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. And I go to God and say, God, forgive me. You can hear the devil lie. You don't deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve forgiveness, God, but Jacob, that's why they call it mercy. And morning by morning, new mercies I see. I just need that, else I feel like I don't deserve it. That's why they call it mercy and grace. And the devil tried to tell me this one time. When I mess up time and time again, I'll finally say, God, would you forgive me? I don't need to be saved all over again. He saved me. Once is enough. When Jesus saves you, he does a good job. But Jesus is a lifeguard. He brings you in. And he saves me. And when I mess up, I feel bad. But then the devil reminds me, tries to. Yeah, you only had that one chance. Because Christians are what?
Perfect.
And God says, oh my, don't believe that lie. Try to be. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But we are not. 1 John 2:1-2 say this, my little children, I write these things unto you that you don't sin. Not the next verse. But when you do, because God knows that we will. But when you do, we have an advocate through the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He'll stand in for us. He forgives us. And the devil tries to make, oh, you're taking God for granted. I said, no, I'm taking God at his word. I'm going to believe him. He's promised me he'll forgive me. He's promised that he loves me. I will never leave you, nor forsake. He's promised he'll always be with me. When you start taking God up on his promises, all I need to do is trust him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who what? All means all, and that's all can mean. I can do all things. I can jump off a platform at a swim meet. I can stand up in front of summer school tomorrow with 30 people and go, it's a little nervous. You still get nervous teaching 30 years? You always get a little nervous. Y'all maybe get a touch nervous when you jump in a helicopter and notice the back end's out of it. And go, okay. And we're not wearing seat belts or anything. Okay. It's okay. God says, I love you. I'm with you. I got to work. I've called you to a work of life on. So God, I'm not going to fly on the back of this helicopter. No, I got too much work to do. What's that old saying, though? Housewives especially agree with this. God's not going to take me until my work here is done. In my case, I'll have to be 200 because I've always got work to do. I've always got one more dish to wash and one more child to scrub the face of. And in my case, I'm good for another 100 years. Psalms 34:8. Would you turn to Psalms? Psalms 34:8. I'm trying to give you a promise that you can bank on. Jesus says, nothing surprises me. I will keep you safe. I promise I'll never leave you and not forsake you. But here's the biggest one. Whatever work I've started in you, I'll complete. I'm not going to let you be half done. Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is a man who takes refuge in him. Now, you say, well, that's great. Who wrote this psalm anyway? Okay, I'll go ahead and let you think that. Yes, amen. Who wrote this psalm? Who wrote most of the psalms? David. You say, well, great. David is a man after God's own heart. We're going to say that God's good. He's going to say, oh, taste and see that the Lord's good. Now, wait a minute now. If David was in a trial like me, if David had to take an exam, if David had to take care of kids, if David had to, wait a minute now. Let me see where David was when he wrote this psalm. David is being chased. He was chased by his own son Absalom. He was chased by Saul. Those people wanted to kill him. And here's what, let's read through Psalm 34. If you go back to verse 1, I'll extol the Lord at all times. That means I'll praise him, I'll bow down. His praise will ever be on my lips. You are being chased like a fugitive. Oh, isn't it a great day? David, you're crazy. By the way, he had to think like he was crazy. They got word to the... I'll keep reading here and I'll tell you this. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. See, how can David be that way? Yeah, once David was being, he snuck his soldiers into the tent there. They didn't really have cathedrals and synagogues. They would go into the temple. And the priest said, David, what are you doing here? And he says, my men are hungry. You got anything to eat? All I've got is the showbread. That would be like what we take for communion. David says, well, I guess we'll be eating that. David, that's special. Do you think God wanted David to eat? Yeah. I think his soldiers needed it. So they ate the showbread. Later, the Pharisees would have had a heyday with that. You can't eat that bread. So David ate it. And then they found out where David was. And some of the people come in and got him, but not his men. And they took David and they raked him in front of the head honcho there. And he says, listen, this is David. You want to kill him? And he says, sure, I'll kill him because he's a mighty warrior. And David came up with this idea. He started slobbering in his beard and he acted like he was what? Crazy. He's like, wow, wow. And the guy says, why'd you bring this crazy person into me? I don't have to kill him. He's going to do more harm to himself. Get rid of him. And David comes out and as soon as he gets away, wipes the slobber off his beard and goes, takes off. He just now fooled that guy. So that's the man who wrote this song. He's being chased. He's having to come up with different plans to escape, but he knew God is not through with me. Okay. So I'll give you a final verse. This man named Paul, who fought against Christians, made it all the way to Rome. He's about to appear before Caesar to worship, and every day he's in lockup with waiting his trial. He's chained to one of the imperial guards. I wonder what he's talking about. Have I talked about Jesus? The imperial guard's going, oh, I've heard about you. Yeah. You know, I was on the road to Damascus, light shining. He gives him this story. They finally beheaded Paul in Rome. But here's what he said before he went to his death. He could have said it our way and said, God, you promised me I will not die until it's my time. But it's my time. And you brought me through a shipwreck. You brought me through beatings. You brought me through all that. But you promised me. So now he says this. He writes Timothy and says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. So now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. That's us right there. Paul says, I've done a good job. I'm ready to go. That's all I want us to do. when we reach the end of our life. Pray with me, please. Dear Jesus, as we come to a close of this message, I give you the glory and the honor and the praise. I pray that you've got the point across that you've promised us. You can speak to every one of us in here and say, I promise you, I'll be with you until the end. And you will not leave earth early. Nothing surprises me. I've got a plan for your life. And I'll bless you until that day that I decide to bring you home. Jesus, I must confess, I don't know why that's early for some and later for some, but it didn't surprise you. It didn't surprise you. Mark's grandmother lives to be 103. And Jesus, it didn't surprise you when John F. Kennedy took off at an early age of about 36. I don't know how things work, but I do know the one who makes them work, and that's you. So, Lord, we can trust you. We don't have to worry. You promised us. God, you are a God of your word. So today, help us to bank on that promise. And if I know that nothing can come at me unless it first goes through your hands, then that gives me confidence. And I can get out of bed in the morning and I can face things when I feel a little scared. I say, what? God's still working on me. He's going to bring to completion what he started in me. And God, you began a good work in me. And I pray that you keep making me more like you. You did that with Paul so well. You took a murderer, and by the time he reached his end of his life, he was ready to go home and be with you. So Jesus, today, your promise, I will be with you, gives me confidence. He gives me completion to know when I get through with this, I'll walk into heaven knowing I've completed your job. You yourself said, it is finished. You came to earth knowing you completed your work. You said, it is finished. And you went home at an early age to us, at 33. That's a young age. But Jesus, nothing surprises you. So Lord, now, bless our hearts as we close our service and we trust in you and to know that promise. That's something we can hang on to and put our teeth into. That's something we can know and count on this week. That he who began a good work in me is able to bring it to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. Until you come back, Jesus, you're going to work on us. I pray that we'd cooperate and let you work on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.